morning, and today we have this panel of our distinguished panelists who will be talking about standardizing health information exchanges for vital records. Our panelists are Mr. Atkinson, and if you don't mind, I will read from the script that I was provided about your credentials. Mr. Atkinson is a Deputy Director of CDC National Center for Health Statistics, Division of Vital Statistics. And he is also was an Executive Director of the National Association of Public Health Statistics and Information Systems, and the Director of the North Carolina State Center for Health Statistics. He was assisting in developing the nation's health statistics on birth and death. Overseas, he also oversees the engineering of the re-engineering of the diversion IT systems to improve the timeliness of health statistics and working with states to improve their vital and health statistics systems. His areas of expertise includes vital and health statistics analysis and systems, particular issues around birth and death and minority health, planning, design and development of health IT systems and interoperability of systems, project management of IT systems. He directed over 10 major competitive grants programs to improve statistical and or IT systems. In 2010, he was selected as a president-elect of the UNC School of Public Health Foundation Board, and he's now a chair of Student Support Committee. He serves on the board as a board member of the Howard County Foundation for Black Education and Cultural Achievements, and as a president and executive board member of the School of Public Health Alumni Association. He is a member of the Dean Advisory Committee and serves on numerous committees at the UNC School of Public Health. Mr. Atkinson is also an adjunct faculty member in the Departments of Biostatistics of this university of North Carolina School of Public Health. He's a member of the Project Management Institute, member of American Public Health Association, formerly a member of the North Carolina Public Health Association. In 2009, he was a recipient of the Minority Alumni Award from the UNC School of Public Health Minority Caucus, and also a federal CPIC. What is that? CPIC.
Capital Planning.
Okay, Forum Award for Excellence in Project Management. In 2005, he was recognized by the UNC School of Public Health for work in minority health by permanent inscription of name on the one of the walls of the building. In 2002, he received a Visionary Award for North Carolina Minority Health Council, and in 2000, there was a Statistics Award from the governmental sector from the American Public Health Association, and earlier, the Rankin Award and the Excellence in Statistics and Epidemiology Award from the North Carolina Public Health Association. Mr. Atkinson, did you want to add something to that? All right.
Not sure. All right now
we will. Our other presenter, Ms. Harry Han, and she is a health informatics specialist in CDC National Center for Health Statistics. She's a registered nurse and nurse coordinator. She was a registered nurse and nurse coordinator in Washington Adventist Hospital. And she facilitates the development of the Health Level 7 International Standards for Vital Records related to birth defects and birth death and fetal death events. She represents the National Center for Health Statistics in the Standard Development Organizations to promote the development and use of health data standards. She participates in the presentations at the various conferences, meetings regarding the vital statistics standards development. On behalf of the Public Health Data Standards Consortium, I would like to say that Ms. Han is one of our distinguished members who and a devoted member for the consortium who led us to many accomplishments in that in this organization. Harry, anything else? Okay. And Laura Reed Forquer is also is a known person for many of us. She is a principal at the eHealth Sign Consultant in Health Informatics. She's a convener for ISO Technical Committee 215, Work Group 4 on Health Information Security, and the chair of the ISO Technical Committee 215 Task Force for Patient Safety and Quality. She is a member of HL7 Security Work Group and has been supporting multiple public health initiatives within HL7, including public health functional profile development that Ms. Khan is the project officer of. She's also a member of the Integrating Healthcare Enterprise Quality Public Health and Research Committee, Patient Care Coordination Committee, and IT Infrastructure Committee. She was a part of the ONC HISPIX Adoption of Standards Collaborative Team. She also was on the contract team for Health Information Technology Standards Panel and served as facilitator and technical writer for population perspective specifications development, including biosurveillance, quality, maternal and child health, newborn screening, and public health case reporting. She is also here, one of the leads, or the only lead, for the conference interoperability showcase. Laurie, did I miss anything? Okay. Just would like then just to ask Mr. Atkinson to begin his presentation. Thank you so much. And as a logistical point, I think, do we want to have all the presentation just delivered at once and question and answers afterwards, or how do you want to?
Okay. Let's see, Anna. Let's see, how does this?
This one.
This one. Okay. All right, good morning. What I like to do is, as kind of the lead beginning speaker of this panel discussion, is sort of give you kind of some backgrounds about the needs and priorities of the National Vital Statistics System, and particularly as it relates to the issue of health information technology standards. Now, I'm going to focus, I think I've got it now. Okay. I'm going to focus my comments in three areas. One is to talk a little bit about what I call the characteristics of the National Vital Statistics System. And when you think about vital statistics, it is a state and federal system. So it's really a cooperative that I will be talking about here. Secondly, to talk a little bit about a five-year plan. This was an effort between the states and NAPSIS and NCHS, and we have laid out some ambitious goals over the next 5 years with respect to the vital statistics system. We actually coined this going from good to great. And then third is to just bring an introduction to the whole vital statistics standards project that we're here to talk about, and the other two ladies will talk in more detail about that particular project and things related to vital statistics standards. In terms of background, when you think about the National Vital Statistics System, as many of you probably are aware, is housed in the National Center for Health Statistics and specifically within the Division of Vital Statistics. It is really one of the oldest example of intergovernmental data transfer in public health. Vital statistics has been around way since the early 1900s. In fact, today we process about 6.5 million, a little bit over 6.5 million records per year. About 4 million of those are births. About 2.5 to 3 million of those are deaths and fetal death records. And these events are coming from about 57 registration areas. These include the 50 states, Washington, D.C., New York City, and the five U.S. Territories. Now, one critical characteristic of this is that these records are governed by state laws and policies. They're not governed by federal laws. There is, in fact, there is no federal law that requires states to provide us births, deaths, and fetal death records in this country. And I make that point because it's very important to understand that when we think about ways in which we need to focus on improving the timeliness, the ways that we need to improve technology, how technology standards are going to need to be applied, and one of the things we get sometimes criticisms about, how people need to access the records and the steps and things that you have to go through in order to do that. Now, about 15 years ago, and it seems like yesterday, so I guess I'm getting old. About 15 years ago, the states and the National Center and one of our key customers came together, and we talked about and launched what was then called a reengineering initiative. And that initiative was focused on a couple of things. We really wanted to look at improving the timeliness and the quality of the National Vital Statistics System by automating a number of key vital registration activities. We wanted to improve the business operations of the vital records programs, and we want to employ standardized processes and procedures and edits as it relates to vital records. And like everything, we wanted to see if we can do this by also lowering the cost of the operations. Now, it was interesting with this. That initiative did not really occur at the pace and depth that we really wanted to. Part of the reason was that we lacked the resources both at the state level and the federal level, and particularly been within NCHS. I would say that we at NCHS lacked the resources to be able to really help the states move in the direction that we thought was necessary at that particular point. Now, despite all of that, there have been some noteworthy successes that has enabled us to kind of begin to lay the foundation that we can begin to think about standards and improve technology standards. One of these is that we've increased the number of jurisdictions who have gone from a paper-based or PC-based vital statistics system to a web-based system. That's an important step in this particular process. In fact, we have 44 jurisdictions who, as of today, have a web-based electronic birth registration system. And we have about 9 others who are in the process of developing such a system. We have 37 jurisdictions who have implemented an electronic death registration system. And we have about 3 others who are in the process of trying to do that as well. Now, secondly, we have begun to implement electronic transactions of some key vital registration or vital records functions. We have implemented state-owned national systems that facilitate the sharing of records and information among states and between states and other entities. And one of these is called the State and Territory Exchange of Vital Events. We call it STEVE. It's there to help facilitate the transfer of records between states. Because one of the things that we find is, and myself included, we don't all stay in the state that we were born in. So it's going to be important that records are transferred between states to allow birth and death matching to occur. Secondly, another system has been put into place. This is called electronic verification of vital events. This enables organizations to verify the authenticity of a birth certificate when a person presents that in their office. So if they're going to Social Security Administration, you have to bring your birth certificate to that office. And if they want to verify that this is a legitimate birth certificate, they can do that electronically. So again, beginning to put into place those kinds of systems that will make these functions more in an automated capacity. The final thing here is that we have internally within NCHS, we have been working on the reengineering of the internal vital statistics systems. These have focused on helping us improve our ability to receive and validate the records, to code electronically those records, and especially the cause of death. And we have begun to look at ways to improve the access to the data and the information by the statistical staff so that they can get to it in a much more timely basis than what they've ever had before. Doing this through data cubes, we're looking at other data access things. We've recently expanded the availability of mortality data on the Wonder system. That project has just been completed so that people can get at information without necessarily going through the staff. Now, despite all of these successes, and these are things that, as I said before, are noteworthy, much work still remains to be done. If you look at it, the business practices at both the federal and the state levels have not necessarily been revamped to the point that we're taking advantage of all of the efficiencies that technology allows us. Too few of our states have fully taken advantage of technology to accomplish their works about the timeliness and the quality of the data. While we have electronic systems and electronic birth systems and death systems, they have not necessarily been accredited against national standards. If you look at our electronic death systems, they are not necessarily, and I mentioned that we have 37 of those operating. Those are not necessarily statewide. And physician participation continues to be an issue with respect to those. We have implemented very few electronic fetal death systems. Those are things that we are needing to work on. And we still have, just from a security standpoint, we still have too many places where we're issuing birth and death certificates from multiple disparate databases, i.e. we're not issuing it from a central statewide database. Rather, at the local level, they're issuing it from their own individual databases. And those records may not necessarily match exactly what is at the state level. Now, in about a year ago, as I said before, the National Center and the National Association of Public Health Statistics and Information System and state representatives, we began to meet together to talk about a new strategic vision about where it is we needed to take the National Vital Statistics System. Now, much of what came out of that process became the cornerstone of the new 5-year Vital Statistics Cooperative Program contract. And that's the way in which we get the birth, death, and fetal death records from states. It's through a contract mechanism. Now, this new 5-year contract is going to be released from PGO. We've got our fingers crossed that it's going to be released in the fall of the year, and we're hoping that it starts will be effective January of 2012. But there are a couple of things that I wanted to point out in that contract in which we're going to be trying to do. One is that we want to progressively reduce the time for the delivery of records to NCHS. So each year, we want that time frame to get progressively shorter. We want to be able to receive and evaluate the quality of the records at NCHS within one day of receipt. So as those records come to us, to be able to have our systems to the point that we can evaluate those records and have the appropriate information on the desks of the statisticians when they walk in the next morning and can begin work. We want to code all mortality records centrally, So right now, a lot of the a number of states are doing the coding of the mortality records. We want to be able to do that centrally. And in doing so, we want to be able to code at least 90% of those records electronically. And those that we code electronically, we want to be able to get the coded information back to the states within 24 hours. These are capabilities that we don't now have with respect to our existing systems. We want to improve the quality of the cause of death information that is coming to us from states. And so we're beginning, we have looked at and have drafted some systems that will allow us to be able to work in collaborations with the electronic death registration systems that states are implementing, so that the literals, the cause of death literals that come to us, are of a higher quality, and that they are more likely to go through our automated systems than they have ever before. We want to move, enhance the opportunity for the National Vital Statistics System to be used as a surveillance tool. Again, as we're talking about improving the timeliness and the speed at which things are done, to begin to look at ways in which it can be used as a surveillance tool. And the first area that we want to concentrate in is on the mortality surveillance. And so we're beginning to look at things there. And I put this last one here because it's probably one of my pet peeves. And as I oversee some of the re-engineering activities within the state and within the national office, we want to minimize or eliminate all manual interventions. One of the things, as we've gone through the re-engineering process, and then I've said to my staff that I don't want a manual step in the processing of these records unless it's absolutely necessary and it must be approved by me. So we want to take out those manual steps in the process. At this day and age, we need to be looking at those being electronic processes. And if you look at what we've done up to this point, we've been able to save internally about 3 FTEs because we've eliminated the duties and what they had to do in the past. Some of those were just old practices that people are used to. Some of those required us to work with CDC ITSO to change some of the policies that prevented the electronic processing of the records and so forth. So that is happening. Now, like our reengineering initiative 15 years ago, this initiative is going to be, it's going to require significant work at both the state and the federal level. This is not going to be easy, okay? And it's going to take time. But we thought that this would be something that is achievable with a concerted effort. It will require resources, and those resources that it's going to require are beyond what we traditionally have provided to states. So we're going to have to begin to look at ways in which we can better work with our partners and our key users about the data, because about the resources, because it's going to take that in order to make some of these things happen. But I think that the end result of this process will be something that each of us will be quite happy with. Now, from a technology perspective, to achieve these goals, there's going to have to be a couple of things that I think is going to be important as we move forward. There's going to have to be a greater flexibility or configurability of our vital statistics system. We live in an age where things are going to change. Okay? It is hard to say today that if we build a system this way, that it's going to stay that way for the next 5, 10, 15 years. Things are going to change. New priorities are going to arise. So our systems have to be more configurable. By that, I mean the ability to make some changes in it without requiring a rewrite of the entire system. Those are the things we're going to have to look at that. It is going to have to be systems that are more integrated or interoperable with other systems, and not only other vital record systems, but also other health systems. Electronic medical records being one of those. We're going to have to figure out a way to minimize costly systems in 57 jurisdictions that we have operating. Having it 57 different ways just elevates the cost to a tremendous level. How do we go forward with that is something that I think is going to be a challenge. We're going to have to really promote the adoption and use of national standards, and that's one of the reasons why we began to start this whole HL7 standards initiative here. And the final one is that there's going to have to be, in some way or another, accreditation of the electronic medical records, electronic health records, and the accreditation of electronic vital registration systems. We're going to have to be assured that our systems have the ability to collect quality information in the way that it needs to be collected, that it can function, it has the functionality that is needed in order to meet the needs of the vital statistics system. And remember, these systems are really are both administrative legal systems, so they have a legal role, and it has a public health role. So those legal roles is going to require that we can be assured that these systems are collecting and transporting the data in a way that can meet those legal requirements that are there. Now, given this importance of standards that we have seen, and in vitals, we have valued standards for quite some time. We've just finished up, for example, developing model laws for states, working with NAFSAs and the states, and we developed a new set of model laws. These are laws that states can use to help them revise their state laws and rules. We have implemented standard certificates for births, for deaths, and standards reports for fetal deaths. So we value the importance of standards in the process. But as we look towards this whole HL7 initiative, there was a couple of things that we thought was going to be very critical for us. Number one was that NCHS and the states had to be active participants in the process. We couldn't be casual bystanders in this process. That our participation was important because we saw down the road if electronic medical records become the way in which business is done, and I think that it may take time, but I think it's going to get there, that we couldn't be in a position where standards are developed by others and we are now trying to retrofit those standards to meet the legal and administrative needs that the vital record systems had to apply with it. And secondly, we felt like this provided us a unique opportunity to really to influence the discussion about electronic medical records. Because if you think about it, the vital records is the beginning and the end of a longitudinal record. Okay? Everything begins with a birth, everything begins with a death, and everything else that happens in public health and healthcare and so forth is in the middle. So the beginning and the end of this process is really with the birth record, and then the ending is with the death record. So it was important that vital records and NCHS really participate in this particular process. Also, It's because these systems are legal systems. Part of the role that they play, that they are legal systems, that it was important that they participate and influence how certain data elements are collected, how they are edited, and how they are transmitted. Because again, it had to stand the legal challenge that is important in this. And some of those data elements that are identified in meaningful use are also things that are critical for the vital records process. Now, let me say that in sort of closing here, that, as I said, a couple of years ago, we approached our data policy staff about leading an effort to create national standards for the electronic transfer of relevant birth and death information between electronic medical records and vital statistics systems. And they have graciously agreed to do that particular project. I think sometimes they come to me with, they're pulling out their hairs and about ready to throw the whole thing in away, but we saw this as an important step to be able to make. Now, during this particular project, there have been what I call very lively and healthy debates about the use of electronic medical records as a source of vital records information, about improvements in the quality and the timeliness that could be gained if you're doing this transfer of information, and about the reductions in the redundancy of data being captured. We've had a lot of debates about that. And folks are on all sides of the issues. And these debates, irrespective of the size that people are on, these debates has helped us to chart a more prudent course of action that facilitates the strengthening of the vital statistics system. It is important to have these various opinions in this process, because that's how we strengthen the system. We have not always agreed in these debates, but one common thread, I think, theme has prevailed throughout. State vital registration systems will always be with us. We don't see those systems coming to an end. We don't see them being submerged or taken over by other systems or by electronic medical record systems, because of the fact that they play a critical legal and administrative role. And I think that's an important part for us to remember. Now, how vital statistics systems relate to each other and how they relate to other stakeholder systems, such as electronic medical records, in this electronic world that we are moving towards will need to be defined, will need to be debated. And we will need to determine the efficiencies that we hope to gain through that particular process. The research to facilitate the defining of those roles needs to occur, and it begins for us with the development of these electronic transmission standards and ends with the piloting and evaluating of one or more models to determine the best approaches in going forward. So we see this effort going forward, and we see these systems coexisting with each other. How they relate to each other is part of that discussion, part of that debate that we need to figure out. Now, this particular graph shows just one example. Here, you can just imagine a moment where we have relevant birth information flowing from one accredited system to another accredited system, with a birth information specialist entering only that information which is outside of the boundaries of an electronic medical record. Remember, vital record systems are also legal systems. So there are certain information really beyond electronic medical records. But we don't have to duplicate that which is in electronic medical records. I can see such a future, one that characterized vital statistics as a truly electronic system that is closely interrelated with health and medical records. I will say that this is not going to be easy. There will continue to be a number of debates as we move forward. There will be more disagreements, and at times there will be the need to reverse course. But these bumps in the road, and I call them bumps in the road, I'm one of those more optimistic persons. These bumps in the road should never prevent us from moving forward. So we look forward to continuing this effort in HL7, and as Hedy will kind of come up next and talk with you further about our particular projects, let me say that if there's any questions or information, please feel free to give me a call or send me an email on this. Hedy? There's a couple of things that we need to do. Number one is we need to look for ways in which we can complete the development of systems, the development and implementation of systems at the state level. Okay, as we look to make all 57 registration areas electronic. Again, these are, you have to think about these as being really independent operations. And we are trying to make the entire nation electronic. That's one of the goals of this. We're closer with births. Deaths is still an issue. While we have states who have implemented electronic deaths, we need to find ways to help them spread their system, their death registration system statewide. And then we have to figure out ways in which to do that. The other thing that we've done that I think is going to be important in this project, in this process, is going to have to figure out ways in which we can help states in the speeding up of the process. Now, one of the things that we've tried to do is we've done a cooperative agreement with NAPSIS where we've tried to provide them the resources to be able to go out and work with states one-on-one to really help them look at their business practices and operations, and they are making recommendations to them about some things that they can do in this particular process. Some of those take money to be able to do. And we at NCHS are going to be looking for ways in which to do that. We're going to be talking to as many people as we can and partners to make that happen. And I recognize that, you know, we're going into a period where budgets are going to be an issue. But this is not something that we can do by ourselves. The first initiative, reengineering effort that we had, if you look at electronic death registration systems, a lot of that impetus really came from the Social Security Administration because they were interested in being able to get. And so we partnered with them in order to do that. If you look at the whole situation with electronic verification of vital events that NAPSIS has worked on and worked with. Department of Homeland Security has been one that has been providing financial assistance to kind of make that as a part of it. See, there are a number of partners out there that I think that we can work with, and public health can gain if we're able to build that foundation. But we've got to have that foundation in place.
So that's where I see the critical need as happening at this particular point. In our new contract, we've tried to set up mechanisms where we can do special projects with states. And those special projects, we've got a whole list of special projects that we're going to be trying to do. Some of those we're going to have to shop those special projects around to various organizations. Mortality surveillance, for example, is one of those that we want to look at ways in which we can work with specific states to really prove that concept that it works. But we got to look at places where that kind of thing would be it would be valuable to them from a programmatic standpoint. So this is going to take more than just NCHS working with this. It's going to take a collaborative effort to say that vital records and vital statistics is important to how we do business, and we want to contribute to that. No different than if you think about how a number of the surveys in NCHS is done. Okay, those surveys are funded by different partners who see a value in that and the results of that process. Mm-hmm. So we think that that's the case for vital records.
I'm more intrigued by this special project list. Maybe one of the special projects could be interoperability projects with USA and Minnesota Health Department.
The interoperability HL7 type things is one of the projects that we've listed. I mean, we don't specify a particular state, but through that contract that new VSCP contract mechanism, we'll be able to do special projects, and we'll be able to kind of work with entities out there who are interested in that particular special project, and we can work together to try to put together the monies to make it happen.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.